The content of this podcast is intended for an adult audience due to the nature of sensitive subject matter and topics.
Welcome to the Romantic Truth Podcast. You may also visit us at romantictruth.org or on Facebook at Romantic Truth in the search. Now, without further ado, introducing Jorzen, the host of Romantic Truth from our studio in Las Vegas.
Hi everyone, Jorzen with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas. But we're not in Las Vegas today, we're in Beverly Hills. Decided to take a little respite. If it looks Hotel on Riverdale, enjoying it. Alright folks, a couple of things here. We're going to talk about women that feel as though life is giving them a bad deal. Now, according to Buncher Family Law, I looked at some statistics. Don't you know the average divorce age in this country is 30 years of age, with women filing divorces more than men? The largest age group for divorces, 25 to 39. One of the reasons why the divorce rate is so high is because these people are getting married, in many cases, at the wrong time. Now, who's the leading number of divorcees in the United States? Believe it or not, you know what that number comes from? African American women from ages 50 to 59. They have the highest divorce rate of any other group. Total. So what does this mean? It means that a lot of African American women that got married when they were younger, after the kids got grown and gone, now they're coming into themselves. It seems as though what's happening, a lot of younger people, mainly Caucasians, are getting married at an earlier age, but they're also divorcing at that age. Now, here's the thing, hear me out. If you're 18 and you're getting married, you're very optimistic, right? You're hoping everything will work, probably have a child together. Well, at around 25, you might realize that things are not working out so well. And you've given it your best shot. You don't want to sacrifice the rest of your youth in a bad marriage. So in that window from 25 to 39, you're getting out. But now, let's look at some of the things in your life in that period that you probably have gone through. Well, you graduated from high school, hopefully. But you're also dealing with a situation where this is more than likely your first marriage. It's common for this to have a high fail rate. And the reason for this is due to the fact that you still haven't made that transition with experience of being with someone other than your partner. There's a good possibility you've been with this person, you're committed. It could be based on a child that you had together. It could be based on the fact that you guys thought that, hey, you have the future together and you guys were going to tackle it. However, there may be some components missing, such as financial stability, such as maybe preparation for a family as far as sowing your royal oats. You may not have gotten that out of your system yet. And some people are doing it to get out of a trap. Now there's also another aspect of this. Those people who have lived together for a while, had children together, and then got married, and they realized that the cohabitational situation they had without being married was actually longer than the period they were after they got married. Depends. Now, let's look at a few other things here. Demographically, what's happening? A lot of African American women, 50 to 59, are realizing, well, you know, I've struggled through this And a lot of these women in this group had already been separated, and they were just going through the final stages of getting divorced. More than likely, those women are not going to remarry. Instead, they will opt for a relationship where they could be with a man, but not necessarily have their lives encumbered by him. And this is where a lot of women may find themselves in general. Now, the other thing we have to look at also is that when it comes down to being with someone, understanding that there are going to be a lot of struggles, a lot of trials and tribulations, many times people are not ready for that. They're ready for the bliss, but they're not ready for the work. Now, when a person gets into their mid-20s, late-20s, they're starting to realize, I got to get things together because I'll be 30 soon. Those people in their 30s are like, I'll be 40 soon. And so it's like a dress rehearsal where they're saying, well, you know, this is not going to work. I can't take this into the next 10 years of my life. So let me try to straighten this out now while I can. A couple of other things, too, to remember. When you're divorcing and you're 25 to 39, you might not have a lot of assets. You might have a house that you just got into, and you really may not have that much equity in it. Most of the people are going to be the apartment dwellers that are going to fall into this category as far as divorce. But now, the thing is, too, that you have to keep in mind, is that you got to look at the side effects, the after effects of the divorce. Credit will be ruined. There may be more liabilities than assets, especially if you get into a house and it's upside down. Or a situation where you may have vehicles that are upside down. Finance is one of the top reasons people divorce, especially young folks. It usually falls into divorce, bankruptcy, boom. And the guy may be stuck paying child support. Now, women usually initiate the divorce. Why is this? Well, there are several reasons. A lot of these younger women now are looking, because these stats were from 2023. What's happening is these women are realizing earlier, I'm not going to be like grandma and granddad. I'm not going to be like mom and dad, just staying together for the sake of being together because you've been so accustomed to being with each other so long. They're looking at it from the standpoint of, I'm not going to be able to do this. There got to be better options. And so with that thinking, they're saying, I'm not going to go down that long road of having to struggle and deal with this person. They're going to cut it short, cut their loss as short as they perceive it. Now, I'd be kind of curious as to find out how many of these people have gone to counseling, family and marital counseling. I guarantee you the majority of them have not. They try to resolve it themselves. It's not to say that counseling would be the magic bullet either. But what we have to also look at is that some of the women that have been in marriages over an extended period of time and that finally got out of it at age 48, which was usually about the age range years ago for women to divorce. These younger women are not hanging in that long. And a lot of times these women would get out of marriages, they wouldn't want to marry again, like many of the women from 50 to 59 that are African American. They've been through it. But see, they beat the statistics, if you look at it. These African American women that actually got married. The majority of African-American women don't marry. So what you're seeing is a lot of Gen X women, that are African-American women, that are divorcing, and some boomer women that are doing the same. They paid their dues, they stuck by their family all those years. Now it's me time, it's my time. They want to travel. They want to go with their bucket list. They may want to date, but they don't want a heavy commitment. It doesn't matter what race the woman is, a lot of them don't want that. because they're at a point now where they can probably breathe on their own for the first time and really say, hey, you know what? It's my time now. It's my time to enjoy life. Now, you have some women that become very bitter after divorce. They hate men. They're going to be a hyper-feminist because of the person they chose as their partner. See, that's where the anger comes in. They're really angry at themselves for allowing themselves to be in a relationship so long with someone that's not really working with them. Whereas these younger folks, these younger women, are leaving and they're saying, you know what? I'm not hanging around. You can pay child support, you can have visitation, but the one thing that I'm not going to do is stay in this relationship with you. I'm not doing like grandma did for 20 or 30 years where she had to bite her tongue. So this is the shift that's happening. A lot of the younger women in their 20s, they're not thinking about marriage. So it's really a small population that we're talking about here, 25 to 39. Now, keep in mind a couple of things, though. This is at the point where people are getting serious about their lives for the first time. Think about it for a moment. When you're in your early 20s, you're carefree. You want to go have fun, you're stimulated very easily, you're out there, you want to be in the know, you want to be a part of things. You're still experimenting. Some of the thoughts, some of the philosophies you had when you were a teenager, now you can implement them. Then when you get about 25, you start to reel it in a little bit. By the time you're 28, you kind of started narrowing down the focus. This means that you become more practical about where you're going to be able to go, what you're going to be able to do. Things start to set in a little bit more. By the time you're in your 30s, you're starting to think, okay, this is the future. So any mistakes that I make from this point forward, they're going to be costly. I still have enough time to probably recover by the time I get into my 40s. When I get into my 50s, it's a done deal. Now, let's take, for instance, in a demographic of 25 to 39, and you have bad credit. Let's say you had to file bankruptcy. If you're 25 and you had to file bankruptcy, it'd be about 35 before you have clear credit again. If you're 39, just think about it, you'll be 49 by the time that happens. That's a pretty good chunk of life. Now, with that, if you were to try to establish credit within that period of time, you're going to be paying a seriously high interest rate, probably more than the average person. Because even if you have bad credit now, you can get like Capital One card or something like that. And with that, you're talking about 2 points more than you would normally pay with halfway decent credit. So halfway decent credit, you'd probably be at about maybe 24%, 28%. With bad credit, you'd be at about 30. So that's one reality that you will have to face. The other thing that you will have to consider is the fact that after you've gotten yourself established again, how's your income? Did it come up with you? Or is it something that's still lacking? Is it something that you still have to bring up to par? Because that's going to be another issue. Again, what's your lifestyle going to be afterwards? Now, one statistic that I looked at, about 25% of women who divorce wind up in poverty. Means that they'll probably get WIC, Section 8, food stamps, or EBT. And so, some women used to stay in relationships and marriages based on financial security. Even though they had a husband that was maybe a jackass, an alcoholic, or maybe someone that did drugs or whatever, they stuck with him because of the fact that he provided. And a lot of women are now looking at it from a different perspective. I'm not going to sit here and just use the excuse that this man providing for me as a reason to stay with him. So now she's looking for reciprocity. Am I getting something back out of the relationship besides being taken care of? Am I getting love? Am I getting support? Or am I just being the person
that's doing all the work. And these women are now saying, if I got to do all the work, I might as well be by myself. Now, there's a contingent of women that feel as though they've missed out on life. Many of those women that married like when they were 17 or age of consent at 16 in certain states, and they were in that whole bubble until they were in their 40s. And now they realize that, okay, the kids are grown and gone, it's time for me to be me, time for me to live. This is where you're finding the exodus with a lot of these women in the African American community in their 50s and later. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, things didn't work out, definitely. You don't have to stay in it. Some people stay in it to prove a point. Others try to stay in it to set an example. But sometimes you're setting a bad example for your kids if you stay in a bad marriage because it's going nowhere and they see how you're treated in it and they're like, I'm not going to be treated like that by a spouse because I'm not getting it. And that's what they look at. Now, the anger. It comes from many, many aspects of a relationship. You don't have the autonomy to do what you would like to do, especially at a certain age. So take for instance, you're 28 and you want to just save some money to go to a concert or something of that sort. And he says, no, we can't really afford it because we're strapped for cash. But you know, independently, if you were not with this person, you would just go in and spend and go. It wouldn't be any problem. So that form of resentment festers over time as well. Not to mention a lack of intimacy. Sometimes confronting each other about every little thing and arguing. And you may not have open communications in a relationship. You may not even want to discuss things because it will start an argument. Some of the simplest things. So, with that in mind, there are a plethora of reasons why people don't make it. Marriage is not an institution for everyone. And we have to face that. There are some people that are just not cut out for marriage. They will get into a relationship and they'd want to be committed and dedicated to this person. But they may have a wandering eye. They may have low self-esteem to a point where they feel as though, well, yeah, I love her, but I haven't got the woman that I really want yet. She's okay, but I need to just reach for more. Women do this as well with men. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, when it comes down to, it used to be where it was a very bad thing for a woman to divorce because people would criticize her, they would look at it as her fault. That kind of thing, especially if she filed for the divorce. And so there are some men out there that still hold that over a woman's head. They'll ask her, well, who filed for the divorce? And so the guy will make the assessment, whereas to say, well, I know I'm not going to have a relationship with her as far as marriage or anything like that. And he might shoot that down in the beginning by saying something to the effect of, well, we could be together, but if you're looking at marriage, you got the wrong guy. The only thing is, ladies, if you ever get with a man like that, then you try to turn it around, he's leaving you. He's going to leave you more than likely. You may have different sentiments later on. You may change your mind. And see, this is one thing that as men, we're very adamant about. Because see, when you can't make up your mind, we start to not take you as seriously. We won't ever tell you that. But we will go in that way. And so what that means is that over time in some relationships, you will see him make unanimous decisions without your consent, primarily because of the fact that he doesn't trust your judgment. And you don't want to get in those kind of relationships. So a lot of men wind up getting with indecisive women, and it's their own fault for doing it. Because you may not be so committed. You may want to still have the feelers out to see what's out there. And so that can come into conflict as well. We'll talk more in a moment.
That awkward moment when a woman breaks up with her man.
Rose, this water is cold. Could you move over a bit so I can get on top of the door so we can at least wait until the lifeboats come?
Jack, have you lost your damn mind? Don't you realize I could be with Tyrone? If I let you on this door, we'll sink, and that would mean that I would get my hair and nails fucked up. Are you serious right now?
Rose, I thought you were my ride or die.
Over here, please! Fuck you, Jack. You are the only one dying here. Over here, please! I'm a stranded white woman that loves cats.
Now, there are three contributing factors to divorce. Three of the top things that people divorce over. Lack of commitment is number one. Financial struggle is number two. And number three is infidelity. Many of you can actually think, if you're divorced, that you may qualify in one of those categories. Now, the lack of commitment. What is that? The person might have thought it was a good idea to get married, and they realize they have buyer's remorse after doing so. And interestingly enough, it usually occurs in the third to fifth year of marriage, when a person realizes that, hey, you know what? This may not be for me. As I told you, when I married, I had an understanding with my wife that we were going to try this as an experiment. And we were going to walk away where we both were, in the same way we were when we met each other. Nobody's going to be worse off. If anything, would be better off. Because of the fact that we wanted to keep it civil, and if it didn't work, we wanted to recognize it as a couple that it didn't work, so that in that way, we couldn't vilify each other, because we've been hypocrites if we did. A lot of times, people don't go in with those contingencies. They just go in and hope for the best. And as things change in the marriage, you guys don't talk about it, you don't communicate, and you should. And you should be considerate of each other's feelings. When it gets to a point where one person doesn't want to speak out, one person doesn't want to talk, then it becomes problematic. Now, another thing we have to look at as well in this becomes the financial situation. A lot of people are not financially ready for marriage. The job that you have may be gone tomorrow. You may not have a nest egg. And if you're depending on that job being there for you as you're living paycheck to paycheck, that's not pretty stable. And you have a lot of women that have the low bar of, as long as he has a job and a car and a place to stay. You can lose all three of those overnight. By losing that one job, he loses the car, he loses his place, the state, he's not paid off. So these are things that you have to consider. The other thing, when it comes down to infidelity, as I told you before, people not finding the person they really want to be with physically. This is the reason why I tell you guys, go for the physical template of a woman you want first. Because that's going to be one of the things that are going to make you stray. Because there are a lot of guys out there that will get married, and then a fine-ass woman comes in at work or somewhere, and he's like, ooh, I wish I had that. What it comes down to a lot of times is that people have never had that experience with other people or a variety of people. So they always has to have this quest to pursue. One thing that I made sure of while I was out there on the dating scene, I sowed my royal oats big time. Every kind of woman that I could have envisioned that I wanted to have a fantasy about or wanted to be with, I did it. I didn't ask any questions. Because I knew by doing so, it would make me less vulnerable to stray. By the time I got married, I already knew. My wife had all the physical characteristics I wanted. I didn't want no other woman. like what I had in her. But physically, I chose that first, and then everything else was in place. But we still had difficulties. We still had things that were difficult to manage. This is what comes with relationships. They're not going to be this thing like you see on these romantic comedies where everything just works like clockwork. Those are scripted. When you're dealing with a life situation, you're going to be dealing with things that you may not have any control over, or things that you guys will have to compromise on or work out. Now, the other thing that we have to also understand too with this is that if you go into a relationship and you're prodding this person towards marriage, and that person's kind of reluctant, it's your own fault if it fails. That person's not going to do nothing but to comply with you to make you happy. But they're not into it. And that's what you have to look at, the enthusiasm. If there's a lack of enthusiasm, don't push it. That person's not for you, no matter how much you like them, no matter how much you love them. If they're not going to be reciprocal on their end, what are you doing? You're pushing something that won't work. You know, the days of, oh, you got her pregnant, so you got to marry her? Those days are over. Many people have stayed in bad marriages because of that premise. They didn't even know each other. And they had a child together. They had to learn each other. They had to learn the relationship. And then after they did that, they had to learn how to rear the child. And then if they didn't get along after they realized that, hey, you know, this is not working between us, they got to get a divorce or split up. And then they got to work on how to co-parent. So there's a lot of learning. And you put that onus on yourself if you're not careful, if you do it too early in life. And not to mention the temptations that are out there where you might want to go and mess around or whatever. That's the reason why with your youth, you want to enjoy your youth. So that when you do get serious about life, you know the things you're looking for. So it minimizes some of the bad choices that you can make. You get over the hype, the glam, the sweet talk, and all of that crap. You get over keeping up with the Joneses. The only thing you need to keep up with is with yourself. And you're trying to find someone who's grounded, someone who has a great sense of self, a great sense of their limitations, and who can openly admit some of their weaknesses and strengths. Someone with a plan, even though that plan may not come to fruition, but at least a plan. Some of you have been living together for God knows how long, and then you decide to get married, and you find out things are different when you're married than they were when you were living together. That's because commitment is much heavier. You're more responsible now, as opposed to being single. And then if you get caught with someone else to say, well, you know, I'm still single, which was true. Kind of hard to say when you're married. Even though some people feel as though to do so. We'll talk more in a moment.
I got my divorce yesterday, and last night I wanted to party like a rock star. 10 years of a wasted marriage with a loser that had nothing to offer but mediocre dick. My coworker took me to a black club last night, and I had the most fun ever. Silk wrap skirt and stiletto heels. Your girl learned how to cha-cha and electric slide. I had Hennessy for the first time and slow dance with a man that was so tall that his dick was between my titties. Let go!
All right, now when we look at marriage, I looked at a stat from Quora. Back in the 1950s, the average age of a woman to get married was 20. Today in 2023, it's 27 years of age. For men, it's 29. So what does this mean? is something that's been trending and is going to continue to trend, where women are going to marry at an older age. What they're saying is, let me get the experience first. Let me get the career first. Let me get the travel in first. Let me get my life in first before I make this commitment that may put my life on hold. So I won't have the resentment of my grandparents and other women in my past who laid down their lives at 16 and 17 and went all the way through to their 40s, 50s, and 60s, married to someone that they had to cope with and put their lives on hold and not really enjoy life. Now, here's the interesting thing about many of the women in this demographic. These women are still going to have an active life in their marriage, because what they're doing is they're establishing certain behaviors and certain normalcies so that when they do marry, these things are already incorporated. So, for instance, if she's into the arts or she's into a career of some sort, that's going to have precedence over the relationship, in the sense that she's not going to quit her job because her husband says, well, honey, you know, I want the woman at home with an apron. It's not going to work. Because the way she looks at it is, I'm going forward with what I have. Now, we can put our resources together to go forward together, or we don't have to do that at all, and I can be single once again. So now what this is telling, if we really looked at the statistics from what I quoted earlier in the last segment, this would mean that these women are married at 27 and they're out of the marriage by 39 if they're getting divorced. They're still young, don't get it twisted. But what are many of them doing? They're trying to get ready because they know they're going to reach that pinnacle of life at 45, where they'll be able to look forward and behind them. And what they want to do is get everything squared away as much as possible before they get into their 40s. See, when you're in your 40s, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get rid of debt, hopefully. And you're trying to shift that whole spending thing from where you had a financial deficit where you're actually saving more. It's like you're tipping scales because you have retirement coming up. And you have a lot of other obligations that you're going to have to tend to, such as your health care and those kind of things. So there's a whole different mindset. And you change in stages in your life according to the lifestyle you'll live. See, you'll be at the pinnacle about in your 40s, going into your 50s. By the time you're in your 50s, you might be at a point where you've made as much money as you possibly can in whatever industry you're in, and the company may not want to put any more money in you as far as training, those kind of things. So we have to be practical with it, because see, these people realize in their 20s they're calling people old that are in their 40s until they get into their 40s, and then they're realizing, wait a minute, these younger people are going to be eating my lunch. So let me go and start putting things in order so I will not be just sitting there flat-footed by the time I'm ready to retire. Because another thing that's happening, a lot of these younger people are bypassing the traditional roles of buying a home, of getting overextended with automobiles. They're beginning to realize that some of the fundamental things that didn't cost that much back in the day are very expensive now. One trend that I've seen take off are these people that are not purchasing cars. Instead, they're using these cars that you can rent for a day or rent for a few minutes or an hour or whatever. And some of them are actually, but you see this mostly in urban areas, where they don't see it cost effective to have a car payment every month, a $700, $800 car payment on an electric vehicle, where they will save that money just for rent. Housing arrangements have changed a lot. There are more people looking at maybe house sharing. apartment sharing. And there's a gross misconception, and I'm glad that NBC brought this up the other night when I was watching the show. They were talking about people that were on the street, and they did an expose downtown Los Angeles, which I'm very familiar with, over there at Skid Row on Fifth Street. These people were mortified by seeing what they saw on Fifth Street, something that many Angelenos see all the time in Los Angeles, Pershing Square, all that whole area. And what the philosophy was years ago was to contain the homeless in this downtown area. And what they found now is that these people are spreading out in different reaches of Southern California, San Fernando Valley. Some of them are going up into the Angeles National Forest. Other people are going in places like Venice, where they're having disputes all the time over people defecating and sleeping in their lawn. Places like Hollywood, where they're having people, you know, basically camping out in front of their houses. And what used to be the stereotype was the drug addict, the person that just was mentally ill or down on their luck, but now they're starting to see people with jobs that are out there. And this is no new thing. The working homeless has been something that has been going around for a very long time. As I told you before, I was part of the working homeless community for 2 years that I lived in my car and had a nice car, nice suits, nice job. The workers didn't know it. And the sad thing about it, it's an embarrassing thing because the cost of living in Los Angeles is very expensive. And plus, I was hit with medical bills from my mom and those kind of things, and I had to pay those off. So it was cheaper for me to basically forego an apartment for 2 years in order to pay off the medical bills. And a lot of people are caught in that situation. And it's very stressful. And if you're in a marriage, those are the kind of things that can actually break you up. It could, you know, make things not work. I remember when I was out homeless during those years, there was a guy that I knew, and he said that he had his family, and his wife still had her job, but she couldn't afford to stay where they were, so he was able to help her with his retirement, get her a one-bedroom apartment, and she and the two kids stayed in it. Well, she eventually lost her job. And what he told her was, let me send you back home to your parents while I try to get on my feet. She did so. It took him about a year and a half, but he finally got back. But see, it's not a stigma of laziness. And that's the problem with some people. They think that that is the key. They think that, oh, these people are deadbeats. They just don't want to work and that kind of thing. That's easier said when you have a job, when you have a career, when you don't have a lot of extenuating debts or circumstances. Most people are actually one paycheck away from homelessness. There's some fields. Whereas if you lost your job, it'd be hard for you to find another one. You look at the writer's strike. A lot of those writers, they really couldn't afford to strike, to be honest with you. But see, this is something they wanted to do. They're not like a lot of other people that will say, you know what? Okay, writing is not working for me right now. Let me go do something else in order to make ends meet. You have some people that are just solely focused on that, and they're willing to tough it out. So you have to decide as far as to the degree of your struggle you're going to take on. One thing that I didn't have to worry about was losing my job, even though I was homeless. There were people that I worked with that owned homes that they could have rented to me or let me stay in for free. Beach houses, other homes that they've had. But here was the thing. I would have appreciated them, but if I had gotten away a little bit, true enough, But another thing got in the way. It wouldn't have allowed me to understand the whole situation with that homeless dynamic. No matter how much money they throw at that problem, it's going to exist, because the problem is there's not one concerted effort to do the job to get the people off the streets in a constructive way. See, the problem is you have too many people in the kitchen, and they don't really have a comprehensive plan. So if a person loses their job and they go and they say, okay, I need a place to stay, and then they will tell them something like, well, how long have you been homeless? Oh, I've been homeless about 3 months. Oh, you haven't been homeless enough. You know, come back in a year. And what does the person do? They don't come back. Because, see, there's a devastating thing that hits them. It's called personal pride. It was ironic that I would take clients out to dinner at a nice restaurant, Maestro's, Torino's, and yet I was living in my car. They had no clue. That's the thing, folks. Certain circumstances will put you in situations like that, in binds. How you handle it, it's based on your character. There are couples, there was one couple I'll never forget. They were homeless, they had 3 children. And they went down to this homeless shelter. And the father was able to get them where they could have a place to stay for that night, with wife and kids. These weren't deadbeat people. These weren't people that worked as cashiers at Walmart. These were people that had white collar jobs. And what he did, he got them in. And he went down back to his car, and he just broke down, calling himself a failure, talking about he wanted to do some things to himself. And I said, man, you can't let your head go there. Because people don't understand. I've always looked at Southern California like Rome. California in general like Rome. You had a certain class that were doing very well than everybody else. And the thing is, you try not to be around everybody else, because once you were with everybody else, people distance themselves from you. And it's like that. It's kind of ironic. You can go to other places in the country. You don't have that homeless problem because the cost of living is cheaper. People that are making less money than you in California, New York, in the Midwest and the South, they have a home, a whole house. Why are you struggling? That's the reason why when you come out to places like Vegas, different places, and visit, and they see that we have a homeless problem, they're like, why? And a lot of people that way because of the weather. Now, one thing that happens, after they've been accustomed to being homeless, it becomes a lifestyle for them, for some people. Most people just need a break in order to get off the streets. And it could be contributing factors could be a person has a fire, wipes them completely out. It could be that somebody died in the family that was the breadwinner. But the way we approach it is those people. We'll talk more in just a moment. One thing that's changed, in the 1980s, women usually were about 22 years of age when they were married and had their first child. Since 2015, it's gone up to 26 years of age. Now, the average length of a marriage in the United States is about 7 years. That's it, folks. 7 years. Now, here's the crazy thing. 60% of marriages, second marriages I'm talking about, fail. Third marriages, 73% of them fail. So what would that tell you in general? It tells you that a person that's been married multiple times, there's something wrong with that person. It could be in their choice, the individuals they're choosing. Or it could be a characteristic associated with them personally that they really have ignored. I went out on a date with a woman that was married 7 times, one time. And the first thing she did was rattle off about how all of those men were the wrong guy for her. And so as she did so, there was a couple of things I started to notice about her. She never took the blame for any one of the failures in any of those marriages. It was always the man's fault. And she had this long litany of things that was wrong with these men. And then when I asked her, why did you choose those men? First thing she said, oh, they deceived me. They told me this, and they were that. And so it took you 7 times to go through the same thing and not notice some of the similar characteristics that led you down the same path. And of course, when I said that, she really got upset. Picked up a purse and walked out. As I said, there are some people that are not cut out for marriage. Or even relationships for that matter. So what happens here is this. Take for instance, you're a 26 years old female. You get married for the first time, you have a child, and you fall into that 25 to 39 year window. And let's say your marriage lasts for 7 years. You'll be divorced by age 32 with a child. That could put you in a rough place, especially if you have not got your career together first. This is the reason why a lot of these young women are doing this, so that in the event they're going to school, they're getting their careers established. So in the event things do go left in the marriage, they could still land on their feet because they're trying to avoid, of course, a fate of poverty. But as we discussed in the last segment, it's like homelessness is reaching higher and higher in certain communities throughout the country. So if you make $50,000 a year, you still may not be able to afford your own place, depending on where you are in the country. If you're in California, like Los Angeles or San Francisco, $100,000 a year is roommate money. Same thing in New York. So you have to really look at it. Because see, it used to be where people would migrate from the Midwest and the South to go to California or go to New York, make a lot of money, and then come back home and live like a king. Well, that was okay during the baby boom. That was okay when we were rebuilding Europe and rebuilding Asia after the World War. But since then, prices have gone up. Economies of scale has changed. And so now we're dealing with a whole different dynamic. And this is something we have to face. A lot of these companies now are not carrying you on the books until 20 or 30 years. So you're going to have to get in the fields that are in demand where there will always be a need, such as healthcare, technology, engineering, science, somewhere where there's some longevity and stability. You know, it's kind of funny. I have a friend of mine, and she's a head nurse in California, and she's up close to $200,000 a year. And she was telling me about, she's not worried about being homeless or anything like that, because her house is almost paid for. She said a big thing that she's concerned with now is that she hasn't had any time for herself. And it's starting to wear on her, because she feels as though the only thing she does is work. And it's interfering with her personal life, where she can't really date for the most part. She's falling asleep on dates. And she's at a point now where she's like, you know, I'm just overwhelmed, but I can't walk away from this, because the lifestyle that I've created for myself, I don't want to go back. I don't want to revert back. And so she's kind of stuck. And I asked her, I said, well, how do you plan to land as far as retirement? She says, well, I'm not going to let California eat up all my retirement money. So more than likely, I'll sell my house and I'll move somewhere that's a little bit cheaper. She said, I'll probably move to Vegas or somewhere that's cheaper. She says, because I don't want to see another needle. I don't want to see another nurse. I don't want to see another doctor. She says, when I retire in these few years she had left, she says, the only thing I want to do is just be in peace, total peace. Some of you guys have asked, what would be the best type of woman to date? You know, I always tell you, get somebody that can pay their own bills. If you get a woman in the healthcare profession, true enough, you might not see her that often. But one thing you don't have to worry about is her having work and money, where she could take care of herself. But some of you guys, you might want to look at that field, healthcare field. It depends on not only what your interest is. See, one thing that we used to be able to do was go into fields that we had an interest in. Now we have to look at that, and not only that, the profitability from that industry. So for you to go get a college degree in political science, that's not going to help you much. It's going to make you kind of fit in with everybody else. You might could teach with it, but that's about it. And we know teachers don't make that much money. And so that may be a struggle in itself. So now you have to be a little bit more deliberate with the choices you make in life. Think of it this way. Many of the people you will encounter on dating scenes and going out to places, or that you may meet, a lot of it has to do with the lifestyle choice that they have. You have to determine whether or not it's suitable for you, whether or not you guys coexist. There was one lady that wrote the show that told me, you know, you need to be with a retiree. You don't need to be with anybody that's working. Now, here's the interesting thing. The lady that wrote this is 59 years old. Six more years, and guess what she's going to be doing? Eating her words. But what you also have to look at is this. What is your debt ratio going to be by that time? You're going to still be working at 70, 75, 80? Why, so you can bolster up your Social Security? So you get about, what, $2,500 a month or whatever? Some companies are not going to let you hang around that long. Some of them are going to let you go at 62. There was one company that a friend of mine worked for, and they got rid of everybody at 60. Oh, they reclassified you and have you requalify for jobs. That's how they would do it. They'd switch it up every once in a while. And she got to a point where she couldn't pass the proficiency test for the new job description that they had for the position. So they had to transfer to another department. They couldn't fire her legally. But they also put her in that position because they didn't have to spend any more money on retraining her. It was more of a remedial position, and then eventually they made her a trainer. Training people that were going to take her job. And they were getting more advanced training than she was. It all depends on how the organizations are set up. So you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan for yourself and not let the company have a plan for you. Because obsolescence, that is a reality. The one thing that I want to leave you with this is that, let's review. A lot of people get involved in marriages and they may not be ready for them. Some of them don't realize that they might have committed to the wrong person, which leaves them on the back end of that marriage, upset, angry, disassociative. It puts them in a place where they may hate men or may hate women because of what they've gone through. But they have to look at one fundamental thing. It all began with a choice you made in the person you chose and the lifestyle you chose with that person. And that's one of the hardest things for us to really digest, because we would love to be angry at someone else because in that way it makes us feel better. But when we can accept our shortcomings, accept our failures, we move on. When my wife and I divorced, we both looked at each other and we said at the same time, it was my fault. We both said it at the same time. And she said, well, at least one thing that we're honest about, we both failed at it. And I told her, yes, we did. I said, but you know, just like I loved you starting in, it didn't work out. I'm glad I failed with somebody that put forth the effort as I did to make it work. I think it's something that we both can live with and learn from, which we both did. There was no finger point, because we went in it with our eyes open. And sometimes you have to do that in order for the relationship to function and to go forward. But the security team members with you. Shh, y'all gotta keep quiet down there. I'll get in trouble. But in any case, I want you folks to have a wonderful evening. And I'll talk to you on tomorrow.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen 1 Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with 2 Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.